Well, this is it. Should just hold here.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good, good. Okay. So today is Book of James, chapter 4. Me and my family, we moved from Taiwan to Edinburgh this January, many people know. And we are really thankful that God brought us here to start a brand new life. So before I came to Edinburgh, I was wondering who are we going to meet and what place we will be living in and what culture shock we will be having. So I spent some time to research Scotland and the people here. And the first thing I found is the people here, they are very welcoming. And the second is the diversity of the accent. So I was a little bit nervous. I'm still struggling now. But the third thing is it's kilt, not skirt. That's very important. So I did all this research because I love to get along with people. I believe everyone does. So before you go to a new place, you do some research about that place. And my purpose is actually to make my life that, or my family's life being simple and easy. So I'm just like this duck. Now, this duck is standing in many flamingos, and it tries to imitate the flamingos standing by one leg. And it's quite smart, right? So I think I have something in common with this duck. We both want to acclimate ourselves into a situation to become used to this new environment. So generally speaking, I think this is good. This is good. It's not a bad thing to immerse ourselves in a new culture. But sometimes it's not always good to do this. For example, once I was in the pub with my new colleagues, and they're Scottish people, and we have some beers, and we had great talk for several hours. The only little problem was they kept swearing in the conversation. So, you know, for me, it's not a good idea to join the swearing. So I kept silent, you know, being silent for a moment. Out of the blue, one of them asked me, "Hey, Peter, don't you swear?" And this is an awkward question. So I don't want to say, "Yes, I swear." That's not true. But I don't want to say, "No, I don't swear." That makes me a little bit strange to them. So when I was thinking how to answer this question, one of them said, "Don't worry, Peter, we will teach you." It sounds like swearing is something I should learn. So apparently learning swearing is not a good idea, but you might have heard something like this: "Hey, you should buy that car for your own safety. You should read this book. The book is talking about how to make more money. You should learn from that person because he's successful. He'll teach you how to be a successful person." So what is this? This is the world is providing us all kinds of wisdoms. So the question to us are these wisdoms in harmony with the heavenly wisdom? Holland gave us a great concept of heavenly wisdom last week. I believe everybody still remember. And we have a simple way to think about everything. WWJD. What would Jesus do? So today, this is the Our theme passage in James, book of James, chapter 4, verse 4. James says this. Can you see the word? Is that too small for you? Okay. Don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us your precious words. We ask you to speak to us, to give us your wisdom to comprehend the book of James, and help us to mirror your word to our lives, to be aware of that we need your wisdom. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, let's remind the book of James. And we have heard several topics talking about trials and perseverance, hears and doers, faith and deeds, tongues, and worldly and heavenly wisdoms. In chapter 4, James is dealing with another problem. We see there are fights and quarrels between these Christians. I'll read verse 1 to verse 2. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. So, why do they have fight and quarrel? James asks a question which he expects his readers to agree. Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? So, the problem is desire. What is desire? Desire means that viewing pleasure as the chief goal of life. So the desire drives people to think nothing is more important than seeking pleasure. So if you have Facebook or Instagram account, then the system might suggest you to follow some celebrities. And you will see the pictures of expensive houses, expensive cars, even ships, and see a lot of foods and good lives. What are these? Actually, these pictures denote the desires. They are telling other people how rich they are, how good they are, and they are pursuing all kinds of pleasures. The problem of desire is this is very hard to the desire is hard to be satisfied. So it brings the war. How do we know? Because James says, kill. The word tells us there are wars between the Christians. So I came up with one thing. I believe you still remember that, right? How many of you or your children have collected the Lego card this year? This is my first time, you know, collecting these cards for them. And before that, I didn't see how powerful these cards are. And I remember Alex posted this on the Facebook, and someone replied, no, and blow. So, you know, these are just small, tiny little cards. They're not even the real Lego sets, right? I was so wrong. So, my kids, every time we go to Sainsbury's, we always got equal cards packs for three of my kids. So, to keep everything is fair to them. But this balance was broken when Joshua got some cards from his classmates. And when he brought the cards back, and his brothers saw that and said, this is so unfair. I want these cars too. Why only you can have this car? I want this car too. So Dad, let's go to Sainsbury's to buy more stuff, get more cars. So, after the balance was broken, every time when someone wants to give us car, we have to deal with it very carefully. And for me, this car collecting is not fun at all. And for them, it's as well. So we're so glad that this activity has been over. And at least we might have, you know, 1 year peaceful life. So until next year. So these cards, in a sense, it denotes a small desire, right? The desire is, I want to have more cards so that I can show off. Or I want to get 140 cards to prove that I can complete this collection. I don't want to lose the competition. So to them, this means a lot. But what about us? What matters in our life? What drives us or even controls us to behave like that? So, obviously, if we carefully think about this, something in our life really matters. So we have desires, that's true. But why we have desires? One of the reasons, I believe, is that the worldly wisdom are actually temptations. They're not really wisdoms. They're more like temptations. So just like the Lego cards, the worldly wisdom seems to motivate us to chase something looks good for our own pleasure and benefits. But the truth is, it brings worries, envies, hatreds, fights, and quarrels. This is the reason, I believe. And the other reason is we refused to trust in God. Yes, God is providing me what I need, but sometimes I want more, right? And I want to have more. If God says no to my prayers, I might lose my chance to have a better life, a better job. I can never be the same with my friends. I can never be the same with my colleagues, my neighbors. I can never get something they have, but I don't. So with this attitude, we don't believe that God really cares about us. Our prayers are more about ourselves. So when we don't get a positive answer in those prayers from God, it's hard to keep praying. So as I look back, every time I am sick or I'm uncomfortable, I don't really need steak or red wine. I don't need Netflix or PlayStation. I only need two things: doctors and Jesus. So when I have big trouble, none of my habits makes me feel better. My money couldn't help me. My experience couldn't help me. Only when I go before Jesus and pray, stay with him, then I have peace. So in the book of Matthew, Jesus says the way we live and pray expresses how much we trust in God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 30 to 33, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So, is there anything we can't live without, or anything we desire to have? but we're afraid of putting these things in our prayer or bringing them to God. Do we really trust God to provide us what we need, but not what we want, not what we desire? Can we really step back and let God to decide what is important in our life? So, verse 3, when you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. In Taiwan, there are many, you know, religious people, and they regularly go to different temples, and they give offerings to the idols. They pay a lot of money, they spend a lot of time, but when they find these idols are not responding to their asking, or they can't solve their problems, they get rid of those idols immediately. They think these idols are like vending machines. So when they put money into the machine, something should just come out immediately. So they're trying to manipulate these idols, which means they are playing gods, not these idols. So to us Christians, we have to ask ourselves, is Jesus our vending machine? Do we pray with the wrong motives? This wrong motives is all about ourselves. So this motives is, God, you should look after me, satisfy me, provide me what I want, give me what I ask, because you are my God. This is James said, the wrong motives to spend on our pleasures. I'll give you an example. This is the car I drove in Taiwan. This is a 17-year-old Honda Accord. It looks not bad, right? I hate this car. It has awful lots of problems. The remote didn't work. The gear was locked, leaking oil. Alarm has no sound. Window cannot be opened. Air condition is not cold. It's not working. You know, it is. But I tell you one thing. Before this car, we have only one SUV. But Melanie needs to drive, send kids to school, and I need to drive to work. So I pray to God, I need one more car. This is the answer. Am I happy? No. So some of my friends keep telling me, are you kidding me? You should buy a new car, right? The reason is, it's for your safety. This car is not safe. Look at it. That makes sense, right? So, to drive a new European car, cool car, is safer than driving an old Japanese car. I forget who really keeps my safety, car or God. So, anyway, my desire was turned on, you know, and I started to research all the cars like BMW, Audi, Benz, Porsche. When I was doing this, a little sound in my head kept asking me, do you really need that? I refused to answer this question because I know who is asking. So, I know God doesn't like this idea. And plus, on top of that, I found all my colleagues, my friends around me, they all have great cars. Only me was driving there. I feel worse, you know. Then, one day, this happened. When I parked my car in front of my flat, it was attacked by somebody. This guy has never been caught, by the way. Sorry. Then I saw this when I was about to work. So this is awful. But this is a sign, right? This is a sign. I have the best reason to buy a new car. So I stopped to, you know, feel uncomfortable, you know, about this idea. The voice in my head has gone. And I successfully convinced myself that God will bless us because he destroyed this car. So he will bless me to have a new car. So that was the perfect time for me to pray for a new car. That's the pattern. What's the pattern? In the beginning, I didn't pray because I felt guilty. But I didn't listen to the Holy Spirit. Until I felt guilty no more, then I began to pray. I'm cheating myself. So I pray with completely wrong motive. I remember Holland shared with us, what is selfish? Selfish is putting your own needs in the first place, and you don't care about other people. So I'm selfish. I forget my wife and my children. And I don't want to trust in God. I just want a new car. So after this, I called a car salesman. Yeah. And he just drove a brand new Audi A4 to my office to give me a test drive. I felt everything was perfect. So I called, this is the final step. I have to call the most important person, Millie, my wife. So I called her, and whatever she said, I'm going to buy it. So that's my decision. So what did she say? She said, I know you really want a new car. If you truly have peace, buy it. She is supportive. And I start to panic. You know, I start to panic. So when I start to panic, the Holy Spirit speak with me again. He said, my son, to fix this car cost you $10,000. But to buy a new car cost you $1.8 million. Are you sure? So to cut it short, I didn't buy a new car. I fixed this old car and drove it for several months. Although I made the correct decision, I was still angry. I blame God because I thought he was unfair. He doesn't care me. Why he only gave other people better lives but not me? Then after several months, I got a job offer from Edinburgh. When I decided to take this offer, I realized I will be selling everything in Taiwan, including my house, cars, furniture, everything, and relocate to Edinburgh. What should I do if I bought this car? I will never know. But I'm really thankful to Millie. I'm thankful to God. I'm not wise, but she's wise, and God is wise. So, worldly wisdom tempts us to only care about our present situation, but heavenly wisdom helps us to wait, to trust God, and to think further. So, James, verse 4, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. So James used a quite strong word here, adulterous people. Adulterous means being unfaithful to God. And he asked another question. Don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? So there is no neutrality, friends or enemies. Why can we be friend to both world and God at the same time? Because the world is godliness. So the book of John says, I will not speak much more with you. This is Jesus teaching. For the ruler of the world is coming, and he has nothing in me. So who is the ruler of this world? The devil. Devil is God's enemy. So he has nothing in Jesus. So we are actually in a spiritual war between God and devil. So if we choose this world, then we can't choose God. The devil fights against God. So there is absolutely no neutrality in this war. Now James asks another question to make a point. So verse 5, or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us? Bible scholars know that this is one of the most difficult verses to translate in this letter. So we have several different translations here. The Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously. The other one, he jealously desires the Spirit which he has made to dwell in us. He yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us. The Spirit he caused to dwell in us longs jealously. It's complicated. But we have two ways to see this. One, God is jealous for the Spirit which he has caused to live in us. It might be the Holy Spirit or our spirit. That's one. The other one is the Spirit that God has caused to live in us tends to be jealous. It's not easy to know which one is correct. But if we go back to think about the verse 4, the verse 4 is talking about the believers have fallen in love with this world. So the believers have been unfaithful to God. So this is natural that God is jealous for losing his people's love. So, though we have five different translations here, but I believe James is saying, because God loves us so much, we should love him only. If not, he will be jealous. I think that's what James is talking about. What is jealous? Is jealous right? Jealous means being angry because your thing has been taken by other people. It's different from envy. Because envy means you wish to have something you don't have. That thing belongs to others. But God jealous because we belong to God. When we love this world, he will be jealous. So to these Christians who have chosen wrongly, James not only points out their problems, but also give them a good news. The good news is in verse 6. But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. So, the good news is even we have become the enemy of God, we are still under his abundant grace. So truly God has set a very high standard for us we have to love him with our whole heart, our whole mind, all will. But he also gives us more grace, and he will show favor to us if we humble ourselves. So, two attitudes. proud, humble. Proud is from this world. Humble is from God. We have to choose one. So, verse 7 to verse 10 is talking about how to put things right. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. So James asked these Christians to repent and change their conduct. So three steps. The first is resist the devil. Then the devil will flee from us. Second, draw near to God, and God will draw near to us. Third, humble ourselves, and God will lift us up. A double-minded here is talking about the people who wants to love this world and love God at the same time. So, it's not too hard to understand these passages. But why James go into these detailed actions? Because if we truly repent, if we believe God forgives us, if we go before him, then the fruit of the repentance will be visible. So, James 2, verse 26, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deed is dead. If we truly repent, the fruit will be visible. So, I want to talk about a parable. This is the parable of the lost son. So, the story here there was a man who has two sons, and the younger one asked his father to give him his share of estate when his father was still alive. And this son left. After several years, he spent all his money, and he was so poor that he had to eat with pigs. So in that circumstances, he realized he was totally wrong. So Luke chapter 15, verse 15 to 20. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I'm starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arm around him, and kissed him." So the son here, he left because he was pursuing the pleasure. He asked his father to give him all the money he needs and spend all of them for his own pleasure. And then he realized this is wrong. The key here is when he came to his senses, he repent and he do something. He does something, because if without going back to his father, he can never be forgiven. So he recognized that himself is not worthy of being his father's son. He accepted this. This is what he deserves. So if he has a, traditional father, can you imagine that? If this father is a traditional, or we call Asian father, maybe. Okay. This father might say to his elder son, Just go look after your younger brother. Give him clothes and food. But I don't want to see him. This might happen. However, praise God, this young man has been forgiven by his father. And why his father saw him when he was still on the way off, one long way off? Because his father waits for him every day and hope him to come back every day. This is our Heavenly Father. So James says, draw near to God. He will draw near to you. Our Heavenly Father is waiting for us like this. He loves us so much. He's full of grace and mercy. So let's draw near to him. Would you pray with me? So, so we have some time. When we hear the passages today, does God speak to you about anything he wants you to notice? There might be about our relationships or the things we have, the jobs, or something we desire but we don't have. And we need to ask ourselves, who is our friend? Who do we love? Is this world or God? So let God speak to us for a moment. Father, thank you for telling us that you love us. Thank you for giving us your precious words. Thank you for giving us the heavenly wisdom, which helps us to know the wisdom from this world is dangerous. The wisdom from this world tempts us to be unfaithful to you, to pursue our carnal desire only. Eventually, our life will be full of hatred, argues, and quarrels. Father, we want to come near to you, submit ourselves to you. Father, forgive us if we have been unfaithful, because you are a merciful God. You have abundant grace. Help us to live a life with heavenly wisdom. Do not love this world, but love you only. Wait for you only. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.